Here to welcome you all to NAVA. And I know that Bob has tried to get as many members to join and people to join to become members here. And whether you're a member or not, NAVA does tend to bring a family essence to people. They come to NAVA meetings. And of course, I'm the one that says there are no NAVA meetings, but there are NAVA people. And it's just, AA just spreads out through all of us, no matter where we go. But when you have a place like this that's facilitated by alcoholics that come day after day after day, it becomes a family. And Bob Meadows was a part of that family. And for a lot of us around here, for probably 15 years of my sobriety, he was a friend of mine. I can't say that I knew Bob when I first joined NAVA, but I can say that we became acquaintances and then friends and then colleagues, per se, in the pursuit of happiness. He was good about telling me what I needed to do. My first presidency, he was one of the first people to come up to me out in the lobby out there and tell me what my purpose was as president. And he wasn't alone in that. You know, Howard Allison and Paul Schaffelier joined in same day. But anyway, I had to write some things down because I would ramble if I didn't. I wouldn't take up too much time because I know a lot of things here said that are going to be repetitive. But when you know somebody and he's here a lot, you hear a lot of the same things. You see a lot of the same things. You may interpret them differently, but they're the same. So we're here to honor and reflect on the man and his memory and what he stood for and what he brought to us. Now, Bob will... He will be spoke about in meetings and in private conversations for years to come. He's going to be one of those people. There are a lot of those people around here, and that's a good thing. You'll say, well, Bob used to say this, Bob used to say that. And then you'll have people say, no, Bob never said that. He said this, you know. And whether it's true or not, it's all a matter of what you heard and what he said. It's just the fact that you remember something about the man that he actually put that message in your head, and that's all you can hope for. I had a lot of things written down, but you know, I would just go on and on and on, because each one of us talking about Bob Meadows could go on for several hours with our Bob Meadows stories, and we don't have that. And Sam's got one of those big hooks back here to yank me off the stage in a minute. So there's a lot to be said about him, and will be in the years to come, but people like Bob Meadows are part of our AA legacy. It's what keeps people around here and in their own way keep them coming back. And that way the hand of AA is always there when somebody else reaches out for help. We'll be there. So we have the litany of people in our minds, of things they've said, things how they influenced us, the way we interpret them, the way we incorporate them in our lives and our sobriety. And this is part of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's part of the man. We've lost a statesman and we've lost a friend, but we have enriched our legacy, or he did anyway, and people like him. So with that, I'm going to keep all my private conversations with private. They're with me, and that's the way I want them. And with that, I'm going to lead you in the serenity prayer. So, a moment of silence. The prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you and welcome.
I see people grow, find out they can take their right place in some great plan. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The color of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people passing by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry, watch children grow. They learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Thank you. Maureen McCarthy was a good friend of Bob's and a caregiver to Bob, and she has written a poem about Bob that she will come forward and share now. Maureen.
Hello, I'm Maureen, and I'm an alcoholic. And I'm an alcoholic who has a new appreciation, a new gratitude, in part due to my relationship with Bob. Bob and I were polar opposites. And when we began dating, I remember hearing comments such as, we were a bad episode of Wild Kingdom. He likes to eat at Piccadilly, you like to eat at Panahar. He likes cowboy and Indian movies, you like indie flicks with subtitles. It will never work. But as we learn in this program, sometimes things work in their own way. Ways that are not meant to be understood, only experienced and appreciated. And the time I appreciate through all our ups and downs with Bob was towards the last 6 months when we developed our own language, even when he couldn't speak. It was a language that had no expectations, where we shared vulnerabilities, fears, where we really understood each other. It was the language also. We also had a lot of nights full of laughter. And I really treasure the fact that I was there up to the last breath and that it was a peaceful one. And after the funeral parlor, people finally found their way to their house after getting lost a million times and took him out and removed him. And I realized, looked around and he was gone, and I removed myself from the premises. I still knew that part of Bob would always be with me. In that vein, this poem. How will your spirit roam? How will it rise? Like an effervescent bubble hitting air, popping with a sigh, or will we see you in a stare, some familiar spark within a stranger's eyes? Will you leave your burial box and rise? In a straight ascent, or is there some chance you'll circle with the breeze and stay and dance? Will you hang at some casino in the sky? I don't know if souls return to caress. I only know as they prepare you for soft ground, the earth will be much sweeter with you there. And my heart will always hold you near. Go roll the dice in paradise. Go tickle the angels, baby. Go tickle the angels.
We try to live our lives with just one aim in view,
to practice AA principles in everything we do. We try to live our lives with just one aim in view, to practice AA principles in everything we do. We know we have a choice now to act responsibly in what we do for others and who we want to be. Each day is one more day to give back what we've got, to fill the day with examples of what the steps have taught. For those still suffering without AA, the principles we live will shine a quiet light to show the way.
Beautiful. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Gay. And thank you, Maureen. Beautiful poem. Bob had so many friends and sponsorees, and in the final couple of years, so many caregivers that we could be here all day with, if we had everyone come up and speak who cared about Bob and who had friendships with him or who he had sponsored. But obviously, we couldn't have everyone on the podium today, so we've asked a few of these friends and sponsorees and caregivers to kind of represent everyone and to come up and say a few words today about Bob. And so we'll start that process with someone who was a close friend of Bob's for many years and a fellow NABA member, Bud Mayfield.
My name is Bud. I am an alcoholic. And I'm glad to be counted among Bob's friends. When I first came in here, there was a group of men, including but not limited to, of course, Bob, Sonny, Fred Harp, even Bill Roop. But I couldn't get angry with Bill. He was just too nice. The rest of them, I couldn't stand. They were the most arrogant, dictatorial bunch of guys I'd ever seen in my life. And I said, you know, who the hell do they think they are? Why are they so happy? I was angry, petrified, I couldn't get over. And I even talked with Terry back there one day. I had to get somebody alone, and I said, you know, what's with this Bob guy? How is he so terribly positive all the time? How does he think he can tell me what to do and what I need to do and be so happy doing it? When I was, you know, I was at that point where you can tell an alcoholic, but you can't tell them much, which maybe is a place we all go to, and I revisit quite often. What I discovered after a period of time and over a period of time is that Bob was so deeply committed to this program. He was so deeply committed to being in this program and a member of this program. He was sometimes overly assertive, sometimes too emphatic, but it was born of a deep faith that had grown in him over a long period of time. And I think what my main irritation with him was, I was jealous. It was, how dare he be so happy? and be so in such good shape in this program and give so much to so many, which he did. I didn't like it all the time, but that was part of the deal. There was a lot of stuff I needed to hear that I was told that I didn't want to hear. And it took me a little while. But Bob was one of the leaders of, of that group, of that band of brothers, if you will. I just came up with that. Was that good? that I couldn't get beyond. And I value. And they had this really pretty girl running around with Sonny Walker, and I said, why is she with me? Candy was always around, and I was just jealous as hell of that. But it, that group of guys gave me so much. Bob Crawford was, and that the others were too. I'm not limited to the ones I've mentioned. Just gave so much of themselves, set the examples, and Bob was one of those. And he was always positive. He went through stuff that I couldn't imagine with Patty, and not just with Patty's death, but before that, what led up to it, all the grief they shared and experienced. It was a reluctant but a deep admiration. And what does it say in our book? This too I must have. And hanging around you people, and particularly some of the ones I mentioned, have given it to me. And I'm larger and better because I knew Bob and know these men and women. Thank you.
Thank you, Bud. Next, a pool playing buddy of Bob's and a friend and a caregiver to Bob, one who's not a member of this program, but who brought Bob over here to meet him, Sandy Reed.
Good afternoon. My name is Sandy Reed, and I am genetically related to alcoholics. It is a real privilege to be asked to speak today, and all I can say is I first encountered Bob at a place called Barley's Billiards. When I first saw Bob shooting, he was dead on every single time. I then nicknamed him the Rifleman. We had a few interesting moments, and one in particular, we played doubles here. He asked me if I would come to his, what he referred to as his club, to play in a doubles tournament. And a doubles tournament is where you alternate shots between the two people. And I approached Bob and I said, okay, Bob, what's the plan? And very sternly, in one word, he said, win. With no exception. There wasn't any wiggle room in there at all. And thus we did win. And he was so proud of that, that he took the trophy and he wrote on there, first place, Scotch doubles, NABBA. And he proudly displayed this trophy in his pool room. And I'm happy to say that I was honored to currently have that trophy. A couple of interesting little stories. We had to play in Las Vegas among 10,000 other participants. And I and my former husband convinced Bob that flying was not a problem. It was just smooth, no problem, nothing to worry about. Unfortunately, I think the Lord didn't have that smooth flight in mind because it was a wild ride. And every time I looked over at Bob, he was white-knuckling it the whole way. And without hesitation or reservation, he continued to go every year, year after year, to compete. I can only say that in my mind, Bob had such tenacity and such courage that I think he will be a living legend of the Serenity Prayer. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Next, a longtime sponsoree of Bob's, Matt Broyles.
My name is Matt in Malcolley. And I want to thank Sam and Hope for reminding me to dress up today. No, actually, I want to thank them for putting this together. I'm sure Frank had a hand in it, Debbie, and whoever else. And I especially want to thank Maureen and Priscilla and Sandy for their tireless work with Bob over the past, I don't know, almost year and a half. Sandy was talking about the place that Bob played pool. That was actually owned by my parents. And so I met Bob when I was 17. And that was 23 years ago. So I guess I knew Bob, I don't know, 9 years before I found out I was an alcoholic and needed help. And so Bob was not only close and dear to me, but he was also close and dear to my family. I mean, we were very close. So one day, Bob asked my mom where I was because he didn't see me for a while. And she said, well, he's in rehab. You know, she blew my anonymity. And she was very good at that. And we didn't know that a lot of our customers were pool players that went to meetings from NABA. So she had me call Bob, and Bob told her, and she had Bob call me, and Bob took me to my first sober meeting, because I went to some meetings where I wasn't sober. And, you know, Bob started sponsoring me. He almost made it 14 years. And Bob was like I didn't need a father, but he was like the father I didn't need. I was like the son that he didn't need. He had two sons that he had his hands full with, as it was, you know, besides me and Terry and a few other people. You know, Bob and I went through a lot of good times together and a lot of tough times. When Patty got in her accident and passed away, he called me and Don W., his sponsor, and we were the first ones at the hospital. Those were some really tough times. And what was amazing about that is Bob didn't find it necessary to take a drink. And, you know, for myself, what I learned most about Bob was he was a tireless giver. He was not just giving, but he was passionate about it. And, you know, I always ask myself, you know, could I ever give to that level? Could I ever give to that extent? And I don't know how one person could be that unselfish. I mean, it's just amazing. And but we had a lot of good times together, too. We took some trips together. He and I actually went to Hawaii a couple of years ago for 2 weeks, believe it or not, and didn't kill each other. We went on a cruise together in the Caribbean. You know, Bob saved my bacon so many times. He was always there for me. And I guess the thing I will always remember, I guess it was Bud or Frank that was talking about hearing what Bob always said in meetings, but he always said to me, he was always kind and gentle with me. And he said, if you ever take a drink, I'm going to break your kneecaps. So anyway, I'm really, you know, Bob's service a couple of weeks ago, I was feeling very peaceful, very close to God, and very, very settled with this whole thing. I mean, the last year and a half, watching him change. And like Maureen said, I think we all developed our own language. I mean, he would have a tough time there at the end, completing sentences and getting the words out. But I was so close to him, I could tell what the guy was saying. I mean, it was just amazing, the spiritual connection. So, you know, I just, there are some people that will always be missed, and Bob was one of those people. And at the service a couple of weeks ago, they for those of you that didn't attend, you know, I was really, really at peace until they got to Taps and they played Taps. And just the meaning, I mean, I just broke down and wept like a little baby. I mean, just, and I never knew, I mean, I knew I had real strong emotional attachment to Bob, but not to that extent. And, you know, when Frank started talking today, I started getting emotional. And thank God Bud kind of made it a little light and funny. But I am absolutely just blown away that all you people are here. And from the bottom of my heart, you'll never even know or realize how grateful I am that he had this many people that cared about him. I mean, that just proves to me what I already knew. And I just feel honored and blessed to be a part of this. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Matt. Now, Priscilla Kuchikachi, who is a longtime friend, a neighbor, and a caregiver to Bob, come up.
Hello, everybody. My name is Priscilla Kuchikowski, and I am a grateful recovering alcoholic. Hi, everybody. And I was very honored and privileged to know Bob for the last 25 years. I remember when I first met him, and then I remember when him and Patty got married. And Bob was, I knew he had a temper, but he was the most even-keeled guy I have ever known, and was such a delight to know, and such a good listener, and was very wise in this program, and was so willing to go that extra mile to pass it on. And he was just, how do I say, he was just filled with AA. And to be around him, it was infectious. You caught it. And I watched him work with people new in the program, people that had a lot of years in the program. And he was always living in principle. And I feel very blessed that I could call him friend. And when I would bring him over here to NABA, I just said, well, I was one of Bob's women. He had a horde of women. I mean, you know, they were just in there all the time. I mean, women after women. I mean, you guys, stay sober, pass it on, and you too could have that. I mean, I said, is there not any gals that are not going to come over here, Bob? And he was just so great when my husband passed away a year and a half ago. What he had gone through losing Patty, and I lost my husband suddenly, and he was there for me to pass it on. And he would listen, and I would, I lived 12 houses down from Bob, and I would call him up about 10:30 and I says, Bob, can I come down? And he says, sure, come on. So I'd go down in my pajamas. And you know, we'd set up and talk for a little bit, and then I'd go up to one of the bedrooms upstairs and lay down and go to sleep. It would keep me from having to sleep in my house by myself. And then Bob liked to stay up late and sleep in late, and then I would get up and leave about 7:30 or 8 o'clock, and he'd still be sleeping. And after I did this three or four times, I says, Bob, I guess I better not come down here in my pajamas anymore. And he goes, why? I says, what is your neighbors going to think about this woman coming in and out in her PJs? And he goes, Priscilla, when you get my age, if the neighbors want to talk about me having women in, go for it. I says, okay, Bob, all right. I'm not going to worry about your reputation, you know. So, but I told him about 6 months ago, I says, Bob, thank you for giving me the honor and privilege of being one of your caregivers. I says, it's the least I could do. And then I guess the last three or four months, you know, he knew what was going on. He just couldn't get it from up here down to here. And I says, okay, Bob, it's like playing charades. Let's guess, you know, what you want. And we made, you know, someone said, you know, we laughed. We did laugh. I mean, we laughed about a lot of things, but we were in such communication with him that we could figure out in just a few minutes what he really wanted, between pointing and, you know, just knowing him. That's all I can say, is knowing him. And my life has been enriched by knowing Bob Meadows. My program has been enriched by knowing Bob Meadows. And what more else can you say about a member of AA staying sober with what he has gone through? I mean, I can remember, you know, when they lost, you know, Patty would have the miscarriages, and then they lost David, and then Patty passing away, and then his mother and his sister. And I didn't hear Bob one time say, "I want to pick up a drink." And then when he was diagnosed with this incurable brain cancer, I didn't hear Bob say, "I want to pick up a drink. That way I don't have to face this." Bob faced it with dignity, caring still for other people. You know, just a living example of how we're supposed to practice this program. And one example to me, when I lost my husband, how could I say, "I'm going to pick up a drink"? You know, what I need to do is do what Bob did, is get involved. And I learned from him to take me out of the equation and start helping somebody else. And that's, you know, that was Bob Meadows, always giving of himself. And I feel very honored and, like I said, blessed that he was in my life. And I thank all of you for being his friends. And I've gotten to know a lot of you through Bob, so you've enriched my program by me just getting to know you. Thank you.
Thank you, Priscilla. Next, a longtime sponsoree of Bob's, Sonny Walker.
Sonny Walker, and I'm an alcoholic. Now, Hope already warned me I didn't have but 4 minutes, but Hope, Bud, and Sally, and Matt didn't take their four, so I'm going to use their extra minutes. I knew Bob for a little over 23 years. First time I ever saw Bob was across the street in a hospital. I was an inmate there, or intern, and Bob was doing a 12-step call and brought a guy in, and he was all bloodied, and the guy told us that this guy Bob Meadows had beat him up and kicked him down the stairs. And actually what happened, he kept falling trying to get him into the hospital. Anyway, and that was the first time I ever saw Bob. Within my first year of sobriety, I got to that third step, and I just couldn't figure out how to do this thing. And I was going to step meetings and looked around and picked somebody I thought knew how to work the steps, and that was Bob. And he was my sponsor, my primary sponsor for the next 23 years. One thing Bob insisted on was I get two other sponsors, and I did do that. So I've had more than one sponsor, but Bob was my main guy. We went through a lot of things together. He was first and foremost my friend. Went through a lot. You know, Bob always carried the message of this program. No matter where he was at, what he was doing, he was always carrying this message. And Bob talked about character a lot. You know, the character in this program. And Bob had character. He died with dignity. He didn't take a drink. He didn't even talk about taking a drink. You know, he had the character. And he taught me about character. And you know, I have heroes in this program. There's some of them in the room today. Bob was one of my heroes. Never thought anything like that would happen when I came to this program. I thought I was condemned to this program, to serve it out the rest of my life. But Bob was one of my heroes. I'm going to tell this. My wife held David, his son, while he died, and sang to him for about an hour and a half there in the room. And she and I were in the room with the baby as it died. And Bob would tell that in meetings, and Candy would always leave meetings and say, "God, I wish you'd quit telling that. This is the last time, baby." won't be told again. But, you know, watching people go through good times, you don't learn a lot. But when you watch guys like Bob go through the times he did have to go through, and why, you know, I've always said, when I get in front of the Lord, there's a lot of questions I got about why did this happen, why did that happen. Because there's things that can't be answered in this life, and they'll never be answered. And I don't know why Bob had to go through all the grief and suffering he had to go through with the babies and with Patty and with Esther. And all that happened in a short period of time, too. But as I watched Bob, he did it with character. And that's one thing, you know, Bob was very proud of, because I know most of Bob's story. I used to tell him I came to hear him tell his story just to make sure he kept it straight. But one thing Bob really strived for, he wanted to be known as a man of character. And he told me before he died, he said, I've been trying to figure out what to put on my tombstone. And he said, I think, if anything, it would be he did what he said he was going to do. And that was Bob Meadows. That just kind of summed up Bob. Bob was always, you could always depend on him. If he told you he was going to do it, you put it in the bank. He was going to go do it. And I remember when I told him Candy and I was going to get married, and he was my sponsor at the time, and always said, well, the cream comes to the top. And that's what he thought about Candy. I think he thought a lot more about Candy than he did about me. you know, I took my kids to see Bob right before he died, because they didn't really remember Bob. It had been a lot of years. And one thing they said leaving there was, boy, he must have really had a good sense of humor, because he laughed the whole time we were there. But I don't think he even knew I was there. He was just spending all his time with Candy and the kids. And again, that was Bob. I loved Bob. And I told him I loved him every week. I just every week I'd say, Bob, I love you. And he'd say, I know you do. Bob would say, you know, character is what you are when nobody's watching. And I was watching Bob a lot. I watched Bob for a lot of years. There was a period of time we didn't see much of each other for a few years. But Bob always, I think I could ask anybody in this room, and they would tell you, Bob was always carrying the messages. He loved, absolutely loved Alcoholics Anonymous. There was nothing Bob would rather do than be in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And he came to meetings as long as he could. The things you don't know about Bob, he did the VA meetings for, I think, 11 or 13 years. He drug me over there every week for years and years and years. Bob, when somebody's talking about the service plate tab, if you don't know, Bob was at one time the number one non-commissioned service guy in the Army. He was the I don't even know what you call it. He was the one that was the top guy in the Army. He was an honor guard in Washington. But, you know, the drink got hold of him, and if you've never heard Bob's story, it got really bad. But he turned that around. I wish I had another 24 years with him. Wonderful, just a wonderful, wonderful guy. And that's, again, to take it back to what I first started saying when I got up here. I didn't know I would have heroes in this program, but I tell you something. That, you know, you hang around this place, you don't drink. That's what Bob would say. Number one, don't drink. You don't drink, you go to meetings, you'll end up with these heroes like Bob Meadows. Thank you.
Thank you, Sonny. And next, a past president of NAVA, a good friend of Bob's, and a caregiver to him, Tim Moore.
Hey, everybody. My name's Tim. I'm an alcoholic. And I was honored to be a friend of Bob Meadows. And I appreciate everybody being here. Sam, thank you, and Hope, Joe, and everybody for doing this. And the efforts and the spirit I'm able to feel today. And as been said, pretty much everybody in here would like to come up here and say something about Bob Meadows. And I don't have anything original. But I was thinking about this morning, you know, some things Bob taught me and some things I learned from Bob that I want to remember from Bob. I want to just mention a couple of them. Bob was he showed such commitment. When I first came here about 6.5 years ago, Bob had just retired. He was always here. I'd see him at night at meetings. I'd see him at TOCO. And I thought, well, this guy's just lived in AA forever. And then I found out he worked a job 6 days a week downtown, ran a successful business, and still went to meetings every day, worked on the weekends, did his 12-step work, did 10 years at the VA, as Sonny said. And he was determined to live a full life. And he, more than anybody I've ever met, he embodied that phrase in the book. He absolutely insisted on enjoying life, no matter what life brought his way. And he was a great example there. He was a great family man. He was faithful to his friends. He was faithful to this fellowship. And you know, he was interested in one thing I remember about Bob, and I want to really keep it in my heart, that always stood out to him as much or probably more than anybody I've ever met. Bob was a student of the traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. He loved the history of Alcoholics Anonymous. He respected the traditions. But Bob was always more interested in encouraging me than he was in correcting me. I was a typical loudmouth newcomer, and I thought if God had got me sober to come in here and help you people, there was no doubt about it. And Bob would sit there and smile, and we'd walk out, and he'd say, come in. We'd walk in that little room, and he'd put his arm around me, and he'd say, you know, that's really not what the book says, Tim, you know. But I never heard him speak sharply to anybody in a meeting, ever. I never heard him correct anybody. I never heard him embarrass anybody. And he forgot more about this program than I'll ever know and than a lot of us will ever know. But he honored us as people, and he believed in the process, and he didn't think it was his job to be an inspector. And I remember when I was on the board and then when I became president of NABA a couple of years ago, the next day was a Monday, and I ran into him at the meeting. And I said, Bob, what do I do here? I'm in uncharted waters. And he said, Tim, just remember one thing. He said, you're going to get a lot of suggestions, and the board does here. They do a wonderful job. And you're going to get a lot of suggestions, but your only job, your primary job, is to keep the doors of this place open for the next drunk who stumbles in here, just like I did over 25 years ago. And many times in meetings, Debbie and I have talked about this, Frank, you know, that the job is to keep the doors open for the next person that comes here. And I want to close one thing. Connie and I, who loved Bob, and he was such an encouragement to her, we're talking this morning about Bobisms. And I thought of some Bobisms that will ring in this room forever. But Bob would say, I almost had enough willpower to die drunk. And I did too. He said his first sponsor, Jason, told him there are only two things you need to know about God. There is one, and you're not it. He'd say, I suffer from alcoholism, not alcoholism. He said, I can drink all I want. I just can't drink successfully. And the thing that touched me the most, the last time I went to see him, it was one of his good days about a week and a half before he died. And it was just he and I and Maureen there. And I brought him a tape of Sonny telling his story. He wanted that tape. Sonny was here a couple of months ago. And he said, I'm not going to be here my next birthday. But he started talking about how wonderful his life had been in the fellowship. And for the last time I heard him say, Alcoholics Anonymous has been very good to me. And as I walked out the door, it came into my mind, Bob, you have been very good to Alcoholics Anonymous. Rest well, my friend.
Thank you, Tim. And now one of my heroes, and the hero of many people in here, a member of AA for over a half century, Bill Root.
Thank you, Sam. You know, I heard some wonderful things about Bob Meadows. I had never really got to know Bob Meadows closely, like all you people did. I knew him at meetings. I knew what he talked. I always saw him available to help people. But I never personally had that close a connection with Bob Meadows. So I'm going to tell you the other side of Bob Meadows. What a bum. No. I'm sure he must have been, you know. But I got to get closer to Bob near the end of his life. When he developed a cancer, my wife had died a couple of years before, and I personally have, when anybody's getting ready to go, I spend a lot of time with them. I'll tell you one story. No, I won't. I've only got 2 or 3 minutes, so I won't get into that. But for me, when Bob started to get sick, I started coming over to see him and spending time with him. I was fortunate enough to go to lunch with him and get to know him better. I also gave Bob a book about what it's like to be in heaven, because I happen to believe in Jesus and believe there's a life hereafter. And I started sharing that with Bob, and I don't know if Bob ever accepted it at the same level I did, which isn't important. But I do know when I was over there the last time to see him, and I was praying over him and with him, he was grabbing my hand with a great clutch. It was not a cursory clutch, it was a desperate clutch. See, AA is great. And AA can take you from where you were as a useless person to where you can have pride in yourself and you can live with yourself and you can stand living in your own skin. But there's a life after AA, and that's why I want a higher power that can help me get to the life after. And I believe Bob's in it. See, that's why I think of Bob Meadows. This is a celebration. It's not just a memory of a person who's gone. This is a celebration to Bob Meadows, who's going to help wherever he is, because he's a child of God, loved by God, and he loved God's kids. I love Bob Meadows, too. Thank you.
Now I'd like to call up Bob Meadows' son, Robbie Meadows.
Hi, my name is Robbie. I'm Bob Meadows' son. I'm genetically related to alcoholics and socially. I'm not real good with crowds, but so I almost didn't come up here, but I just wanted to thank everybody here for over the past year, the incredible outpouring of love of all his friends. It was just, it's really just mind-blowing. This place is really something special. And all I can say is thanks, everybody. You know, I hear about how much he gave, but you know, over the past several months, over the year, and especially over the past several months, I've seen a lot of giving back, and I just want to thank everybody here. And God bless each of you.
Thank you, Robbie. We had hoped to keep this to an hour in length, but we know that there are a lot of people who have stories about Bob or just would like to say a word or two. So for the next maybe 5 or 6 minutes, if any of you would like to just stand one at a time and just say a sentence or two about Bob, we would certainly welcome that. So I'll just open the floor now and just rise if you'd like. Judy, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Judy, and I'm an alcoholic. Hey. Yes, I'm very touched. What Robbie said, because my kids know more about me than you guys, and I always pray that some stranger would be able to but we do know Bob, and I talking to him, I told him I'm praying for you what I would pray for myself. Do you feel God's loving arm, that you have no fear, that you're comfortable, and that you have no unfinished business? That I have all that. And I thought that's what the program is
It was near the end for Bob. And, you know, I talked to him for like a minute and it changed the whole thing. And I can't tell you, all of y'all know how many people Bob was there for in my life and everybody's life that he touched. It's just, I'm just grateful.
Thank you, Tom. Here's a woman that Bob lusted over for many years. I like a.
And I was the Thursday night girl. Bob knew how to treat a woman as a lady. And I was talking to somebody before the meeting, and he used to always say that Belinda Green and I taught him how to treat women. And it was always with the utmost respect. And he did say, when I was up there on Thursday night, Sam, he would say, you know, I've lusted after you for 25 years, and now that you're here, I can't do anything. That's okay, Bob. Tell everybody you did.
Beautiful.
And he will be so missed. He was, that he was a man of integrity and a man of substance.
Thank you. Thank you. Tim.
And I'm speaking for my wife and I. Last month, Bob was really in bed. When I went, Bob had the same problem, you know, and he would call her up. And his speech would be slurred and everything, and he was up to the court, you know. And that was one of the things that he already, you know. And that speaks volumes for a person, and also speaks volumes for the alcoholics.
Thanks, Eric. Yes.
Well, great work, Three things only. I remember they were doing the 10-year anniversary of the family. Downstairs, and at that moment, he began to have a breakdown. And he was kind of drunk to me to take over the meeting that he was chairing and chair every night. So, trying so hard, he reminded me that a big basketball drove him home that day. And the third thing is, the second thing is that me and him had a little thing when we saw each other and we saved each other there over the neighborhood. But the third thing that I keep in front of me, because I walk into Ryan and I saw him do it, he would always talk to him and he would always do this. That means I do this every now and then, because he would send a message to AA and he would put his hand like this. I carry that with me. I have to perform on my survival.
Hey everybody, I'm Susan, I'm Nell Pollock. You have no Bob ever since I got sober 20 years. And Bob was a big flirt. And but it was always this fun, even when he was married to Patty, you know, he was just a friendly guy. And I was good friends with Patty. And the thing I really remember so much about Bob is we all went out to dinner Saturday nights after the meeting. And we'd get kind of wild and crazy, you know, we had a wild group. And we'd be telling some jokes that weren't so nice. And Bob would never feed into it. If they were off color or they weren't respectful, he'd just act like we weren't even talking. And I'll always remember that about him. I never heard him say an unkind word about anybody, and he just didn't go to that place. And that taught me a lot, just seeing that night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have time for one or two more. Go ahead.
Downtown, I walked into a clothing store and I bought a black suit.
Bob Evans was standing in the back of the store. I went up to him and said, I know you said, when are you going to be from? I said, now. Yeah, that's right. When I came back to Napa, I asked Bob to sponsor. I seen him taking care of business. And he introduced me to him, you know. He didn't say no, he just pointed to the guy that gave me a golden, you know, got me into action. So, you know, I miss Bob, and he told me, he said, Mark, you drink, I'm going to break a
kneecap. Have time for one more. Anyone else? One more person would like to finish up? Anyone? Okay. I don't know if you noticed, Tim has been recording this. He will later have, when will you have CDs?
I have a handful of his last story and a few of his funeral.
This is from the service 2 weeks ago.
Take orders.
And this is his story that was told here at the Monday night.
Today available as well.
And you'll have today available as well. So for donations, soon. So after the service is over, we have some final music, and then after it's over, we'll gather in the back of the room. Hope and Debbie have cooked up a bunch of food for us, so we'll have refreshments and fellowship back there. And so thanks so much for all of you for sharing today and for being here. Bob's physical body won't be in this clubhouse or in our lives, but his spirit will be in our hearts and in this club for years to come. And I'd like to wrap up my part by reading one of Bob's favorite parts out of the big book, page 164. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall surely be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Hi, everybody. Well, I just wanted to say a minute. Hi, everyone. My name is Connie, and I'm an alcoholic. I was asked to sing this song, Amazing Grace, today because somebody who I respect and care about, loved and cared about Bob Meadows, Gay Garner. So this is from the heart. I'm not just coming in, no one knowing anything. So I wanted to share that with you. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. When we've been here 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've known less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, oh, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see.
I see.
And thank you so much. That was beautiful. And now, Joe Kennedy and Gay Gardner, the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power
and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks to all of you. God bless you, and please join us in the back. Thank you.
I'm real close to Bob's sponsor, Don. Yeah. Is there any way I can get a copy of this and a program for them? Because they couldn't be here today.
Yeah.
How can I do that?
I'm going to make some, and I'll make sure.
Can I give you my card?
Yeah, sure.